on all things. Amen. Does he have everything set in order according to his plan, which he has already set in order? So there is nothing new under the sun with God. And I was reading, when I made a comment to Pastor Rosa the other day about I have nothing on Job. Amen. All that Job went through and all that he lost, he still trusted God. And for me to complain and murmur about things that I about things when I believe that this is what God allows and what God has allowed this time, then I need to just be quiet. Amen. Because there's a purpose and a reason behind what we go through in life. Amen. As believers now, that God wants us to have that peace as we go through. You don't have peace when you complain. That's not peace. Peace gives you an understanding. God said, he gives us peace and understanding. That's all understanding. There's an understanding. There's a peace inside. They give us an understanding that we know why. Amen. And to bring this to a conclusion, in Job 13:5, it kind of puts things into perspective. And it says, oh, that ye would all together hold your peace, and it shall be your wisdom. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So we thank God for that word. Hold our peace, and it shall be our wisdom. Sometimes we just need to be quiet and go through what we're going through because we are believers and we trust God that he loves us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Morning.
Our scripture reading today comes from Proverbs 3:3, verses 3 and 4. It's on the Benjamin Prince. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. God bless forever.
Let us now greet each other, shake each other's hands, say good morning.
She put water in there, yes. Hello, Peyton.
Good morning, this is Mother Smith. Good morning, this is Mother Smith. Good morning, this is Mother Smith. Yes. Yes. Hang on.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
just give the Lord God our praise as we stand up on our feet and just praise him in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah, Lord God. You are worthy and you are holy, Lord God, and you are worthy to be praised in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord God, we praise your name and bless you in the name of Jesus. Lord God, as we are here worshiping in your name, Lord God, we pray that we ask you to come down in the name of Jesus and just fill our minds and fill our hearts with your love, Lord God, as we praise your name. Lord God, we just want to be free in you, Lord God. That is all we ask, Lord God. We want to be free in your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God. You are worthy, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap of praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
which is spirit, saturate them, saturate this place, saturate every seat, saturate every body, every vessel, every willing vessel that we love to have you in their life, oh God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that your word goes forth, God, unadulterated and uncompromising, oh God. We pray right now, God, that your word goes before your people in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. The old boy, she said in the song, I got a feeling that everything's going to be all right. I don't know about you, but I feel that there is a move of God in this place because as you recognize who he is, we need to praise him for just that. Right? Just based on, amen, our outside connection. And this thing that we are dealing with has got to be something that's down on the inside. See, many times we get distraught because of what we see. That's why I cannot base, amen, my walk with God based on what I'm seeing. That's why the Bible says that eyes have not seen, neither have ears heard, and also neither has it entered into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared. You see, you've got to understand that there is some specific promises that are laid out to you that is not meant for you to see right now. That's why you've got to reach out and touch this thing by faith, because the Bible declares that without faith it is impossible, and then the Bible declares in Hebrews chapter 11, to please him. But he that comes to God must come to him, must believe that he is, and that he is a reward. See, I'm not doing this, amen, for me. I'm doing it because I expect to receive something from the Lord, because he declared in his word that I'm going to, anybody realize that he's going to prepare a place for us today?
Amen.
And where he is, we're going to rejoice in him. So today, I'm just glad to be a part of God's people because I recognize that in this walk with him, and I'm learning after 25, 30 years that what God is doing is not necessarily something that you can put your eyes on and directly say that without a shadow of doubt. That's why we got to learn how to walk by faith. Anybody recognize those that have lost their sight, they seem to have keyed in on the other attributes and allow them to get around. Have you noticed that? Amen, that their ears are more sensitive. They have a more sensitive sense of smell. Even when they touch things, they can sense things that are going on in the atmosphere. This is how the walk of God. Amen. We may not be able to see everything, But I declare unto you, there is a feeling down on the inside.
Yes.
And it is that reason that causes me to reach for God, even when things don't seem like it's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Even though it appears that people have left and have forsaken me, I have got a feeling down on the inside that greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. So when we begin to understand the promises of God, you see, we in this modern day, we seem to have gotten accustomed to all of the vernaculars and all these type things. But let me tell you something, when you boil it down and when you turn the page over, it's not about what you got on, it's not about where you live at, it's not about the car that you drive, it's not about the amount of money that's in your bank. It's the amount of God that is in your life. And if you got God in your life today, amen, you ought to give God some praise right along. You see, look at where you are right now,
Jesus.
Look at what God has placed out in your spirit. You ought to be able to rejoice in the fact that, God, I'm still here. I still got an opportunity to give you praise. God, it may not be what I think it is, but God, I'm going to give you praise because I see over there the size of the mountain. You see, you've got to understand that God's going to raise you to a position, amen, that you're going to have to be able to see beyond where you're at today. You see, we today are so caught up because we try to see what we have in our immediate vision. But sometimes you got to take a look at the top of the mountain and see that God is going to do some great things in our lives. Because I believe that the children of God, we are the ones that have a direct contact with God, that understand that even though things may not be the way I want them now, God, you have not left me by myself. How many know God has not left you by yourself?
Amen.
Amen. So we ought to rejoice in the God of our salvation. Today we want to, this is speaking very briefly on a topic that I think many times in our lives, when it comes to the modern day church, that we seem to lose contact. Just last night, I was watching one of the greatest evangelists of our time. They had a classic. Many of us have heard of Billy Graham, right? And, you know, when I look at all of the preachers we've had in the last 50 to 80 years, there's only a few people that can go into a venue, don't know nobody, go against the grain, because those of you that read the history, when this particular marriage started, they had a lot of separation of races and backgrounds. But one that stood on the precipice of all of that, going into the areas that was just downright unsafe, and all they had was a 5x7, what thus saith the Lord, coming against it. The prospects of our time, but yet we're able to stand. See, when we talk about true evangelism, you know, and not that you displace one or the other, but I guess I begin to see this reason that when God has a word that's birthed down in you, he doesn't care what your nationality is, what your background is, what school you just what school you've been to, or what school you haven't been to, your education level, he looks at the heart of man. And if God can use your heart, he can make up for all the differences. So today, I'm just encouraged. I don't know what we're coming to almost the first quarter of 2016, and I don't know about you, but I've made some things out for God to do in my life, and that don't look at me. Believe it or not, if I can get personal, it really hasn't been about me. And I told God, Lord, personally, I'm all right in terms of where I am and things of that nature. But Lord, they're weighing on my heart. So God, for this year, I'm going to back up. Lord, do for these. They stand in need of not only just of this time of God, they stand in need of a closer connection with you. Because God, because the things that I can't do for them, you can. Because how many of you know that you can't control the situations around your family members and your loved ones? You can't control that. So I had to learn, I guess, as the songwriter said, step back and let God do it. When you actually do that, you find out that he's able to do exceedingly, as the scripture says, and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So I don't know about you, but I just wanted to share that with you that as we go through this year, if you have petitions that you want God to work on you, I dare you to put out there a challenge. I dare you to challenge God. You know, just move into the lesson here, but I just want to share this with you. This testimony. Toward the end of the year, we had faith in our mind that God, this is in December, but it was really the last of November. And I said, God, we prayed for this thing for a whole year. And can we be honest? See, I don't know how to be anything but upfront with God, because going through all the times he made the moon stuff, he knew all of that. He was doing that before I got here. Okay, so I don't need to remind him of what he's doing. I said, God, I made this idea in January 1st, and it's now November 27th. It still ain't happened. I said, but you know what, God? For the next 30 days, you don't have to tell me or do something for me. I said, because I won't carry this and fix it. Now, you know, for you, maybe you've been there, but I had to recognize that I had to lay down the gauntlet. Just like, I need something done about this situation. I said, Lord, you know, for the next 30 days, compared to high water, I'm going to get in your face. Because you, now, Lord, I need this. Because how many of you know that you can get so involved with things, they become a part of you?
That's right.
And I said, God, you know, for 30 days, I'm going to get in your face. Because one or two things are going to happen. Either you're going to take me out of here, or you're going to fix the situation. One or two. Well, something going to happen. And I prayed and I thought, God, and do you not know that I got a son that lives up in Richmond and he was going through some tough times, you know. I mean, you know that sometimes this economy, it ain't all that put into us. You know, and I prayed, I said, God, you know, something happened to him because I know he's trying, but I said, but you know, I hate to see people go through that thing, but God, if this is what it takes, I'll take my hands off of it. I said, but the third, something happened. I said, something. And do you not know that just before, I think December 23rd, that's what I had to do a eulogy for a friend of mine up in New York. That he called me for me that God blessed him to get on the same job now. Sometimes we pray that God can move some people. He don't. How many know that sometimes God can just extend what you already have? If he said he got more, he said, you know, there was a position that I could add to what I already got. They said that they're going to give me X amount more dollars, and I was here. Started on this date. It started on January 7th, but the date of the effective was December the 23rd, which was in 30. How I know that? He sent me an email. He said, check me this. And you know, I'm just one that stick up the dates and find out to me, you started this. 27 November. 23 December. I said, okay, got it. I said, you know what? Well, we're going to deal with that today. The reason I'm trying to do that, many times in our lives, we look for the great overwhelming thing. We look for all that high fun, nothing circles, and music. But if God can just come in, got to consider enough of a little old me, mm-hmm. nobody, and will do that for me, imagine what he'll do for you in your life. Amen. Because I can recognize, listen, I ain't crossed every T, I ain't out of the ride, I ain't prayed every, but I say, Lord, for 30, I will get in your face. I said, something that can happen. So I'm here to just encourage you, as you go through this year, lay your request. The Bible says that we can make our petitions known before Him.
Yes.
Make it. Don't try to hide and don't be afraid. Make it known to God, because I declare unto you, if you do that, and God will see your sincerity, your steadfastness, He will awaken and turn your life upside down.
Yes.
Amen. Give me a God some praise for what He's doing. Yes. Yes. Luke chapter 5. We're going to start at verses 1 through 5. Amen. Again, we give honor and praise to God for the leadership of this house. Pastor Luke and his wife, they are asking that we come to, amen, to initial word that's going to refresh and enlighten us, that will allow us to hold on to God in the midst of our situations. Because it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They had stopped. Give them up. I'm through. Ain't nothing going to happen. Oh, Lord. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon, and prayed him that he would run out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out on the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to him, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draw. Simon, I know that it's going against the grain. I know that you haven't succeeded. Well, let me. And Simon answered and said unto him, here's what I'm talking about. Master, listen, I have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word will I let down the net. Master, I did. I did all that. I didn't pray. I didn't fast. I didn't gave my time. I've done all of that. Lord, God bless you. Do you see my book? I've done all of that. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net broke. Abundant. It broke. And they beckoned unto other partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. In other words, overflow. Overflow. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Oh, we thank you, God, for this opportunity for your word. We thank you, God, that it's going to resonate in our hearts. Because, God, we understand what you're doing. And we give you praise for it now because we count it done.
Yes,
Father, there have been times in our lives when we have given up, where our faith has seemed to be shaken. But nevertheless, at thy word, we're going to let down on this. Oh, God. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God. Use for just a short topic is holding on to God when our faith is slipping. Holding on to God when my faith is slipping. Now, everybody must recognize and understand that in this modern time, we as a church has been given a very awesome opportunity to be the ones that promote the gospel to the needy. God has entrusted his word to us so that we may be able to respond to the need. So as the church, we are here as the Bible, we are represent Christ to the world. So much so that in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18, he began to give a revelation of what he's going to be doing through the apostles and through those that believe him in his word by saying, Petros, Peter, I'm going to give you the key. I'm going to give you this week of everything that you're going to need for you to be successful in ministry. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to download into you everything that you're going to need for you to be able to withstand the heretics, those that come against you, all of those foul things that will begin to arise and to come against what my word says is going to happen. Because the reason I'm going to give it to you, because now I'm going to relegate myself to the position of the chauffeur. Because now, Peter, I'm going to be able to give to you that which I have given to no man. I want to give you the key to the kingdom of God. To the degree that now you are going to be empowered to do what man says you can't do. I'm going to deposit into you that dunamis that's going to allow you to be able to be victorious in every situation. Because what I'm going to tell you now is going to supersede what was done of old. What I'm going to give to you now is going to allow you to do the things they could not do. And I'm giving it to you not because you're so worthy, but because my word has got to be manifested in you. So now, Petros, Peter, whatsoever you bind in earth, it's going to be bound in the heavens. And whatsoever you loose, I'm going to loose it in heaven. So now we see the transformation of the power that God wanted the church to have to be able to rule the earth. When you do your historical studies, you'll understand that from the very beginning, the earth was the dominion of the devil. He had dominion. But now, because of what Jesus was about to do, the blood that he shed on Calvary, the life that he's living, that was the light of men, now he's making the transfer. When we begin to look in the gospel books, you see that Jesus was tempted of the devil. He was tempted when he took up on the mountain. And the devil began to tell him, I will give you all of this. See, this is where, you know, we as church, we have to look and see what was given from the beginning to understand where we are right now. He began to try to tell Jesus, listen, you see all these kingdoms here. I'm going to give it to you. But you can't give me something I already got. So whatsoever you decide that God has placed in your spirit through his word, you can achieve it. I will come into agreement not with the situation that you're dealing with, but with you. You see, many times we try to weigh our projection of God and we try to hook up with the situation. But God ain't never promised nothing to the situation. He promised it to you. In other words, I'm not going to look at your situation. I'm not going to deal with my situation. I'm not going to speak to your situation. I will speak to you. Because I've already dealt with that already. The Bible says that when Jesus died, he went into hell and took what? The keys, didn't it? He's saying keys now. He's getting ready to make a deposit to fear. Everything that hell has to hold you down. took the keys from me. And I'm not taking it for myself, but I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to take those things, and I'm going to give it not to your situation, but I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it to you. So whatsoever you. Whatsoever you bind, I'm going to bind it to you. Because the Bible declares that where two or three are gathered. You see, let me tell you something. I love to come into contact with the saints of God. But if I don't have nobody, me and you, we make the team. And you get the keys already. So whatever I say, it's got to happen. Whatever God has deposited in your spirit, regardless as to the situation, you got the majority. What we find in the scripture that we're dealing with today is a situation that the faith of this individual had beginning to wonder. Is there anybody here that has situations that your faith begins to slip away from you? I don't know about you, but I had to deal with that in my lifetime. Even though, let me be honest with you, the church has got to get to the point where we begin to reach people not where they desire to be, but where they are today. We have been empowered with the gospel of Jesus Christ to be able, amen, to take his word and change the situation of people. Many times we have looked and asked the question, Lord, where is the miracles are happening? Where are the blinded eyes being opened? Where, God, are you going to bring back the dead to life? God, where in my midst am I going, amen, to see those that are crippled, now they are walking? But it is in this realm that we come to understand that the power that God has ordained, amen, has not left you. But it Peter began to look at his own life, and again, this is the same Peter, amen, that God began to download into. And that just goes to show you there are things in our lives sometimes, amen, that sometimes causes us, amen, to waver. But it is in this realm that we see the reality, amen, of the lives that we deal with. In other words, he did not choose us because we, amen, was perfect, but
amen, to his own divine plan. And it is that plan that he's going to, amen, to produce and gratify and change the world. And we see here that he begins to deal with the situation, recognizing within himself and that God had been given to tell him some things to do that he had already done. This particular venue that we find a life lesson being revealed in us. Many times God has said and has spoken, amen, a word of knowledge into our lives. But it is that word of knowledge, amen, that comes against, that fights against the situation, amen, that we're facing. The Bible declared here that Peter began to, amen, reveal to God about his own situation. How many of you, amen, God has spoken a word to, and before he could finish it, you begin to tell God, Lord, I have done all of that now. Lord, you tell me about, amen, giving and worshiping and praying, but Lord, I don't know, I know you see it all, but maybe, amen, in your infinite wisdom, you forgot that. But here, God knows option, and because he knows what's going to happen, not only does he see the beginning from the end, but the Bible declares he knows the end from the beginning. So it is this realm that we see, amen, a manifestation of his power being revealed. And now we see that Peter is beginning to come face to face with his issues. Is there anybody here that, amen, can understand the fact that you have to come face to face with your issues? And when you come face to face with the issues, you've got to rely on what God has already been told you. In leading up to this verse, Peter began to understand, Lord, I understand what you're telling me, amen, to launch out into the deep. But Lord, I want you to understand that, Lord, I've been toiling all night. In other words, toiling is a word for trying. Lord, I've been trying, amen, all night long. I've been out here trying to get fish all night, but Lord, my net is empty. And because nothing has happened, amen, all this time, Lord, I'm just going to sit down and deal. Is there anybody, amen, know that sometimes you feel just like giving up? Lord, I've been trying all of these things now, Lord, and nothing has seeming to happen. Lord, for the last year, Lord, I tried, amen, this church thing, if you will, and I tried praying, God. I tried giving unto you, God. I tried, amen, living for, I tried, God, giving back to folk, those that, amen, that had despitefully and have used me. Lord, I tried, Lord, to look the other way when folk have scandalized my name. Lord, I have tried, Lord, to love those that have despitefully used me. And Lord, I've come to the point in my life that I just don't think it's working for me. And have anybody got to the point in their lives that they feel as though nothing is happening for you? I'm here, amen, I want to submit to you today that in the midst of your situation, just hold on to God. Hold on to God in the midst of your situation. Hold on to God, even though it seems as though your faith may be slipping, and even though it seems as though things are not working for you, you've got to hold on to God. And it is in this realm that God begins to deal with Peter's situation. And again, this is the same one, amen, that he had given the keys to. And this is the same Peter, amen, that after he had gotten converted, had said, Lord, I want to stay with you. History reveals, deacon, that Peter, after the Lord had died, and they began to take his life, he said, listen, I'm not even worthy to be hanging like the Lord turned upside down. So what am I saying to you today? In the midst of your situation, God may have to turn some things upside down. He may have to turn some things inside out for you. But he's still allowing you. You got to hold on to him in the midst of what they're going through. Because if you can hold on to him, he's going to raise you up. He's going to allow you to be able to be more than a conqueror. Is there anybody here that can recognize the fact that God is going to make you, amen, the head and not the tail? Deuteronomy tells us that if we can believe and understand what God have things, but don't let the things that I put here, don't let them have you. So what he had to instruct and tell him, Peter, I don't want your faith to slip, even though it appears. Is there anybody here today that can recognize sometimes my faith and begin to slip because it doesn't seem like it's happening? But God wants to tell you, I want to come in and bust your neck. Is there anybody that need an overflow? Is there anybody that's standing that's been waiting on God to move? And I've been waiting a long time, and it doesn't seem like it's happening. So right now, Lord, I'm a little bit perturbed, if you will. Can we be honest with one another? Have you ever had a situation that you had to approach God like the man did that had the son that was a man that was overtaken by the devil? The Bible said he came to the Lord. He said, Lord, listen, my son. Hey, man, he's vexed with the devil. But let me tell you what I did, Lord. Your folk, your boys, I took them to the disciples, and they couldn't heal them. So right about now, I'm a little bit perturbed. And right now, Lord, if you really want to know the truth, I'm not even looking for complete healing. But Lord, whatever you can do, help my child. And he said, Lord, listen, I believe you, but help now. Is there anybody here today that got to help now? Down in your spirit. Lord, listen here. I've been holding on to you, and it seems like I'm slipping. But help now. Is there anybody that want to give him some praise? Because David said, you will be a present help in the time of trouble. Is there anybody here that can recognize the fact? And then, though you slay me like Joseph, yet will I trust you. All the days of my appointed time, Joe said, I'm going to wait. Is there anybody here today that recognizes, like David said, I'm going to wait patiently on the Lord? He heard my cry. He's pitied every moan. And as long as I live, when trouble rises, I know sometimes it feels as though things are not happening for you. I know it feels as though. And then I've tried. I've let down my net. Nothing has happened. Lord, I come. I've been on the altar. Nothing has happened. I've been praying. Nothing has happened. So, Lord, I'm frustrated. Do we have anybody? Or is that just me? That's been frustrated about some things. And if we really want to tell God the truth, sometimes we've thrown up our hands and say, Lord, listen, I'm done with it. I was there. But here the Lord is saying, I want you to let down. Let down your net. Is there anybody that got a net you can put across your shoulder? I'm going to pack it up. I'm going home. I ain't going to listen to what you say no more. The Bible said that Jeremiah the prophet had gotten to the point that he had saw that the wickedness of the people, that he had made up his mind. Listen, these people, God, they are stiff-necked. They're not hearing you. And I'm going to do like Jeremiah did. I'm going to take my seat. I'm going to sit down. I ain't preaching no more. I ain't saying it no more. But Jeremiah said that when he looked at him, it was just like fire shut up in his bones. I've got to tell somebody that Jesus is real. I've got to tell somebody that he'll work it out. I've got to tell somebody that if you got your neck laid across your shoulder, lay it down. Just do it one more time. Peter said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I didn't believe. Even though you gave me something, I still didn't believe. Is there anybody here that recognized? I've been been in church for some time. I don't believe everything. Is there anybody that recognizes there are some things that God has told me, but yet I haven't believed? I done packed up my net. I'm going home. I ain't going to believe this church up no more. I've been giving my tithe, yet I'm still broke. I've been giving my offering. I don't see no increase. I'm going to pack up my net. I'm tired of trying. But here the Lord is saying, just let down your net. Let down your net. Let it down. I know you haven't seen nothing. Let it down. I know you feel frustrated. But let it down. I know you're saying, you should be with me, Lord. But these people have got on my nerves on the job. But I heard God is telling you, let your net down. Let your net down. Give God some praise right about that.
Want to feel better if God will speak to that situation. that we're speaking to. But see, sin has time to deal with you. He's telling you how to get out of your dilemma. So he don't have time to deal with your heartache about being there. I'm telling you that you're not there. Let them. Don't worry about what you've done. Let your net down. The church has got to recognize and understand that our job as leaders, as pastors, is to be able to take his word and revolutionize the whole world. Because if the truth is told, you can't deal with all the injustices that are happening in the world anyway. So you spend the time trying to justify what has happened to you. That's not going to help nobody. But we spend all our time justifying and pacifying the folk and don't give them the answer. That's why people are leaving the church.
Hallelujah.
That's why people are leaving the church. Because we're so busy trying to deal with their situation instead of giving them the answer they need to get them out of it. Look at what he took. He told Peter, let your net down. If you notice, he never responded to all that stuff that Peter was saying. Lord, I've been here all night. I've toiled. Lord, I've tried this. I've been there. Lord, I've been to church with just me. Lord, I've been to Tuesday night Bible class when I'm on the one on the ground saying nothing anymore. Lord, I've sacrificed in all this. Lord, I couldn't out here on the bench. There's anybody here but me. I feel used. I could be doing something y'all ain't saying. Nothing. Well, I love all of this. But his answer still, that you know. And as I was looking at Billy Graham last night, I noticed that after the word was given, and this is why I know God's God. Many times we think that we have to have a whole big long processional and series of things to play on the emotions of people. All it is for people to come. Said, look, I'm not a waste. Come on down here. By the hundreds, thousands, they're coming down running. Young man, old man, cripple, blind. But the sisters, they're coming down the altars. And I began to look at it. I said, Lord, wait. I said, wait a minute. I said, wait a minute. All he told them was come. He didn't promise them $1 million. Y'all like, woo.
Come on.
If God want to do it, all would have good. But he didn't promise them all of that. He said, I ain't hear him say one time, man, you get a new, you come down here, I got a new house for you. He didn't say all that. He said one word, come. And it came by the thousands. And I begin, so what are you telling me? That we spend so much time trying to promote something and you're behind? Is that why we ain't getting it? Because you know what the book's saying? I'm in the book to me. He said, hey, add or take the book from my word. Because if you add to me. So now I'm saying, okay, maybe, if this is just me, maybe the reason we're not seeing some of that, we're trying to add. He told the people, come. That's all he said. I ain't wasting my heart. Come on. And they heard it come by the thousands. We begging and pleading and promising stuff. Y'all saying that. Ain't nobody moving. Man said, come. And look, they couldn't even, their eyes couldn't contain them. So I'm seeing all this. I said, Lord, what is it that the church has got to recognize that we need to be doing? And the word just came something. He's that done. He ain't doing nothing complicated. He let down the net. So I'm saying to you today, you're not going to waste your time. You're not going to do all any of that. I'm going to tell you, just like the man said last night, if you heal, the thing will be healed. If you feel that you're tired of playing, that you're tired of living beneath, that you're tired of going through the motions, that you're tired of being a clown. A clown, what do I mean by that is? You know, you wear a frown, you wear a clown, you wear a smile, but it's really a frown of sight. Sometimes the church, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me, wait a minute.
Come on.
You know, praise the Lord. You know. So I'm telling you today, person, get down the net. You ain't got to work with me. See, I've been in church. I've been in church for a minute. I don't know what I know somebody. I've been in there for a minute. When you get to the point where you're tired of playing and you need real change and you need something to happen, I'm going to say this like the man said last night. If this is you, come on up here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said that he would not forsake you, that he would be with you in the night. I'm not going to. Joshua was a leader, nation, to the promised land. We would say in Joshua, he said, Joshua. If you tired of all the high fiving and all of that, when you get tired of all of that happens, answer to our issues, and we're going to pray. To answer all our issues, Chronicles 7:14 says, listen, Israel will be able to go into captivity. And God can speak a word of the Lord. But here's what he told me. He said, listen, if I shut the rain, if I command the locusts to eat up everything, here's what I'm going to tell my people. If my people called by my name, shalom with themselves, seek his face, and turn from the wicked ways, then. So if you're looking for an answer, that's it. I ain't got no car to give. I ain't got no house to give. I ain't got all that. All I got is a word. I ain't all that. And it ain't me. I ain't. Who are not, right? I'm going to give you the word. Now, I guarantee you, he said that his word will stay. Let his word be true. And let every man, white man, black man, Puerto Rican man, Scandinavian man, every man be alive. So I'm telling you today, Let's not make this complicated.
Yes.
Let's admit that. Let's admit that now.
Oh,
thank you.
I can't see you right now. You can not stand. Next. Care what it looks like. Let you. Listen to this now.
Bye-bye.
And right now, we're going to go ahead and get our offerings. And you can ask